as we open, perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, thy presence. God, where would we be without it? So, Spirit of God, help us in every way, and we'll thank you in the light of all that lies ahead. In Christ's name, amen. In Colossians, we're looking at what? The believer, the person that's received Christ as a Savior. What do I understand if I have received Christ as my Savior in God's holy, happy heaven? What is secured and assured? Colossians 1, remember the mystery. Remember the mysteries we're looking at in the light of Matthew 13 and in the light of 1 Corinthians 4 chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that we are stewards of the mysteries of God, and we are household managers of these truths, and we're ministers, we're the under rowers. We're pulling the oars down below deck. As the people up on top know where we're going, we're down below just pulling the oars, moving through time. Moving through this week, moving through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. We're moving through it. Now, having said that, the mystery, then what is the awesome mystery? Verse 26, for the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery, which among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. No one ever, Jews couldn't even conceive of it. The Jews said, you can never do that. God can never, never be like that. And that's why they rejected Christ and crucified him, because he said he was God. God was in him. And they can't handle that. That's the Jews, let alone the Gentiles. They think it's stupid. It's crazy things. God in you? What God? We don't even know what God's like, and where is God? And here we are talking and looking at the triune God, unity and trinity, trinity and unity, the wonderful threeness of God's nature, essence of being. Man, that blows them away. You see, even blows Christians away. I don't understand that, see. So now, having said that part, you have received Christ as your Savior. And over in chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 2, and picking, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So God has done a wonderful thing in forgiving us, and therefore we're saved and forgiven. That's a wonderful thing. That's forgiven. And again, without losing it, to get away. Do you know what an awesome thing it is to be forgiven when you think about it? Everything you ever did from the day you were born, every thought, word, and deed, is dead in sins and against God. It's the opposite of God. And then you grew up to be this size, and now you've got the rest of your life to go. And Christ has covered every single, said it 1,000 times, every thought, word, and deed that you'll ever have in your head that's contrary to him. He has forgiven you. As we read this morning in Isaiah 43, for his name's sake, that's why he did it. Has nothing to do with you or nothing to do with me. Everything to do with God's wonderful person and glory of what he's doing. Therefore, in chapter 3, what is the believing heart going to do? In verse, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So our whole earthly time now is to enjoy a heavenly relationship to God, so that we can handle, in the light of heaven's reality, we can handle earth's difficulties. In light of all that you have, you're in heavenly, we're looking for God. We're seated in heavenly places. So what? Why do I need to know that? So that I can handle down here properly. So I don't get offended, I don't have the problem. I'm yielded, I'm looking to make things work out as best they can, and that's what we do in God's grace. Therefore, looking, and therefore, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So now, having said that, that's the mystery. The mystery is what? God in you, who has forgiven you all your sins, who has seated you in heavenly places, who is your life? Who is your life? He is the breath, the breathing that you have is his in believing. And you're looking to God to enjoy that life. Now, in the midst of all of that, what are we up against? Well, there's the, over to 2 Thessalonians. And you know, I'm just having a review, keeping in mind. 2 Thessalonians, we know the mystery, verse 7, as you would know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the Spirit of God is controlling everything and restraining it, evil. What's the evil? The iniquity is the word lawlessness. And in verse 2, the lawless one wants to make himself as God in the temple. So that's a mystery. And so here we are, the believers have a housing God. Their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And here we are housing God. In a world that is lawless, the lawlessness of the world is out there, and it's all leading to prepare for the lawless one who wants to be as God. So now you've got, and now, so people say, oh, you're the devil, and like the devil's food can or something, and a little red whatever in the process. And we have the devil, we have God, here's the Christians, not Protestants and Catholics generally, but believers that seeking to know God. Everyone that says they're in Christendom isn't saved, obviously. So the believers say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the world out there is under the rule of the lawless one, and they don't believe that. Do they believe the Antichrist is going to go and set himself up? He says it, his image in the temple. Do they believe that? Are they looking for that? Oh, they make movies and stuff about different things. But they really don't believe that. They don't believe that. They're hoping everything just keeps going. And we're going, so if we become socialist or communist, well, so what? And we'll just live with it like they do in communism. They live, we'll live. Now, so as in the days of Noah, et cetera, et cetera. So we got it now. So we got the going. We got the phenomena of God in a believing heart, which is not that crazy. And then they've got the devil doing what he's doing with everything that's happening on all of society. It's all moving to what? Lawlessness, the absence of God, the absence of good, the absence of right. And everything's going wrong. Wrong. It's the wrong direction in almost every single way, and our country is expounding how to go in the wrong direction at every evil way. That's what they're doing. So we're looking. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here's all the world religions doing what they're doing, and in the process, they're going to go and do what they do. and people are going to be worshiping as we shared last time, the Congregational, Methodist, Baptist, whatever we are, Catholics, or whatever, Islam, Muslim, whatever we are, we do what we do. And we do it. And we believe what we do to some measure. But, the Lord is doing what in this awesome time? He's letting all of us, all the churches, many, there's only his church, plus 1,000 others that are our churches. And the believers belong to his body, the church. And so, as you know, here's all the churches and the religious people, and they all believe what they believe about whatever they're believing. Whatever they believe, Methodist, Congregationalist, whatever you want to believe, you're believing it. That's what you do. And the trouble is, the whole movement, a mystery. It's a doing. It's going to take all of these differences that are out there and keep everybody from getting to God. That's the whole point. Don't get to God, that God would be in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't let that happen. Be religious up to your eyeballs and do whatever you want and do it to zeal and zest and whatever, but don't receive Christ as your Savior. Don't do that. And everything goes. So we're all going along, as it were. And what's going to happen? Well, when as we shared last time a little bit, the Antichrist is going to go. And like we read in, if you're still looking at it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, who opposes the man of sin, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And what's he going to do? And you know from Revelation 17, he's going to wipe out all the ecumenical movement, the world council of churches. We're all one. Not like John 17. They use that, by the way. They use John 17. Our oneness. No, it isn't. So in the process, here's all this oneness. And we can each be Baptist, Methodist, whatever we are, World Council of Churches. And the World Council of Revelation 17 is going to be united. So the Baptist and Methodist and all we are united, even though we can be practiced out of the given ways of doing things, and we're going to be united. And we're going to allow the whole Antichrist to rise, as you know, Revelation 17. And in the process, what's going to happen? And the Antichrist is going to go in the middle of the 3.5 years after he's used them to rise to power. And he's going to wipe out every religion on earth. So there is no more. He's going to be as God. And there is no competition. Islam and all of it. And now, so all of the things that we're believing, understandably, you want to know to what measure do they have reality and assurance that they're going to get you from here to there safely and to bring from God there, God to your heart, so that you can make it through this trip on planet Earth. Now, so having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over if I can, O2, you pick it up Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if I can, and chapter 50, and we'll pick up that little thought that will help us. And if I can, in Jeremiah chapter 50, picking up, please, in chapter 50, verse 38, directly in the light of the context. A drought is upon the waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, idolatry all over the place, except truth, the absence of God. And they are mad. There's your little verb, mad, raging. To be tossed to and fro, to be drunken, to be crazy, using our word. Insane, our word insane. And we did insane, remember we did insanity once, and that was enough that got us to be insane. The only sane person is God. And the measure that you measure up to God, you enjoy sanity. All the rest is your mind is deceptive, deceiving. It isn't logged in. Well, I think good. Come on. The mind plays tricks with us. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, the mind. So they're caught up. What's doing it? Their idols. Their idols are doing it. Now, having said that, over if I can to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 14, here's the idols, and they are making us, in other words, our religious zeal and effort is giving us fire to push where we're going. Don't you want to fix things and say, don't you want to nicely be objective and question, am I really on the right track? Am I really with it or aren't I? That's what I want to know. Otherwise, what's the sense? I want to know that. So you want to know that. Now, so God has to help us. Chapter 14, in the light of that, idols, that's what driving us. That's what we're saying. What are we? Remember we shared that? How do we defend ourselves from failure to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior? By being religious. Be religious in some way. Atheism, agnosticism, and whatever, evolution, whatever you want to do. Be religious to protect yourself from having to be objective. But none of it works. None of those things are real. But we won't know they're real till then, the Antichrist. The world will know. Everything that they have, they're trusting in, is gone. It'll be right now if we took and eliminated. Right now, I'll use it because I was a Methodist. Well, you're going to take the Methodist Church and Wesley and that, and I'm going to wipe it out right now. So everywhere on planet Earth, there is no more Methodist. And John Wesley would be concerned. You got it? Now, what would you do if you were a Methodist? You look out the window and look anywhere. There is no Methodism, no church, no building, nothing anywhere in the whole world. And you believe you're a Methodist. What are you? You're a Methodist, but there's nothing. There are no Methodists. That's what's going to happen. There are no Baptists. So what do? You wake up to the reality, man, what did I trust in? What Methodism, John Wesley and all of that, they're all gone in their believing. Ezekiel chapter 14. Here's the mad and idolatry. Where does idolatry come from? You know. Who creates idols? Chapter 14, Ezekiel, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of it at all by them? In other words, they're looking to a totem pole. They're looking at some idol they've got done, and they're looking to it to see if it's good. God said, should I honor that? Should I honor them trusting that idol? No. And therefore, chapter 14, verse 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols, where are they set up? In the heart. And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. In other words, he thinks it. Religion, where does it come from? Where do these all come from? The head. Where do we ever get Rosicrucianism and all the other isms? We got it from our head. That's where we got it. So where do they come? From us. We make them. We make them in our head. And then we build them. And then we build a big cathedral to worship in it. That's what we do. So therefore, God helping us, then where do they all come from? Idolatry, like the works of the flesh, idolatry. Now, setting verse 4, setting up his idols and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, cometh to the prophet. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. John verse 7. Every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth up stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, he builds it, looks at it, reads it, promotes it, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. I'm going to take care of that. They put idols in front of me in a most awesome way, and that is not the way to go. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, these idols, and what do we know about the idols? Well, the idols are there, and we do them. And you remember, without turning there, in Acts and chapter 19, you may want to turn there just to try to stay awake. Acts chapter 19. And what do we know about idols? In Acts chapter 19, picking up if I can, verse 24. And remember now, I'm not going to read it, but just get you at least there. Demetrius is a silversmith like my father was, like Paul Revere, same thing. My father did exactly the same thing that Paul Revere did. Same work, same tools, same everything. That's what he did. Silversmith. Now, and Demetrius is a silversmith. He makes idols, makes little idols, so that you can have little idols about something, and they're made of silver, and you put them on your bureau, or put them around your neck, do something. Idols, have idols. And it's a good business, isn't it? Isn't idolatry a good business? Go to the right place at the right time, and everyone's buying candles or something, right? Got to have something. It's a good business. And then the people got saved. And what happened to his business? Well, they weren't buying idols anymore. So he said, man, we got to get rid of these people because they're keeping us, telling us that our idols are no good, and they are no good. So that's Demetrius. And they were worshiping what? Diana. Diana, the god of the hunt, etc. And that's what they were doing. They were worshiping Diana. And that's why they had the little Diana idols. Little Diana idols. They had them. And that's what they had, their idols. And they made them. And they all had them. They'd go to the temple and worship Diana, and then they'd have a little idol at home or something. Now, having said that, about all those idols, and in the process of all of that, over if I can now in the light, keeping that in mind, and over to John, the Gospel of John, and in chapter 10. The Gospel of John and chapter 10. And picking up, if I may, if I can get there, chapter 10. Now, what do I know? What do we know? Over in chapter 10, verse 33, 10 and 33, and you will note, remember the case, they're going after the Lord again, going to stone him, etc., etc. They took Jews up to stone again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works, verse 32, chapter 10. Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? What are you giving me, throwing a stone at me for? And then the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And that's the problem. The mystery of godliness, not God in Christ. It's God in Christ in you. That is unheard of. Now, and what do you do? Now back to our Lord. Chapter 10. What were they saying about our Lord? Picking up, please, in verse 19. There was division, therefore, among them, therefore again among the Jews, for all these sayings, everything the Lord said. Verse 20. And many of them said, he hath a devil, a demon, and is mad. He's crazy. He's insane. He's insane. He can't think straight. His mind's all lost up. Wow. He can't think straight. He's mad. Why hear ye him? What do you want to listen to? He's crazy. Think without turning there in 1 Corinthians and all that. 1 Corinthians 18 and that, you know. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. Say, but it's the power of God. Say, God said, I'll make all the things that people say are foolish. I'm going to use, oh, do it. Do it. That's good. 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And you will note. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please. Remember, we just mentioned verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now sliding over to verse 21. Verse 20, wherein is the wise, wherein is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Uh-huh. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See? How are you going to get saved? All I did is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior, as he said, as many as received me, and I get saved. I mean, that's all you did. Remember, you say, how could God? Well, that's all I did, and he did it. But you got to do something. You got to earn it. You got to merit it. You got to have some credentials. You can't just do that. Yes, you can, because he said so. It's foolishness to just receive him by faith. That's how you get saved. So now in the light of that, you have the wonderful sequence, you know, down in verse 25. Well, verse 23. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks the Gentiles foolishness. Verse 24, for unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God, because, verse 25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So when you're all done, God wins. God wins. And remember, think of Romans chapter 1, 23 and that. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. God. They didn't want to know God. They exclude God. They pushed him out of the way and said and professed themselves to be wise. They weren't wise. Now, sliding over where you're here, verse 26. For, now this is the part that is encouraging. For, you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men are after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. People that think they know something and have something, they don't get saved. No, they're going to think about it. I'm rationalizing about it. Good, said good. You spend your time thinking about it. How are you going to do it? And my thoughts are higher than the heavens, and what I've done for you is make possible the impossible if you just receive it. Now, so therefore, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God's turned the thing all upside down. So here we all are, we're all going, and God says, I'm looking for a nobody that will allow me to make them somebody. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the heart, not your brains, not your IQ. I'm looking for your heart. That's what I want to see. Believe in thine heart that God hath what? raised him from the dead. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. A unique relationship. God, it's foolish. It's absolute. No. It's the way it works. Now, so therefore, verse 26, and the base, low things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That what's the whole purpose, God, of what you're doing? That no flesh shall glory in my presence. That no one's going to say, I did something, I am something, your favoritism and all of that. It doesn't work. We shared it. God does what he does for his great name's sake and nothing to do with you or me. And well, verse 20, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Wow. If you're going to get, and word glory there is boast, to speak loud. There's another word for glory. God is glorious, not that word. This is the little word glory, to boast, to speak out loudly. If who's going to give you, who gets the credit? As God outworks your life in a daily basis, you get the credit? No, God gets the credit. We don't boast about what we did, what we wrote, what we said, what we did. No, no, God gets all the credit. He gets the glory. So we don't go, nothing to do. So I'm not interested in anything, and neither are you. I don't have anything except God and Christ. That's all I'm ever gonna have. That's all I ever want, period. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so over if we can in the light of that, take a moment if you can, over in 1 Corinthians, here you are in chapter 3. And in chapter 3, keep in mind what we just said with the word glory and boast. And here it is again, chapter 3 and in verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the heart wise, that they are vain, what we think. Therefore, verse 21, let no man glory, that's the word boast, to speak loudly, let no man glory in men. Why not? For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. How can that be? There's nothing. We just, in what's the oneness? You have, think of Sunday's morning worship. You have a unique oneness to God in his nature, all that he is. So therefore, God said, all of the life, death, the beginning and everything, you name it. You already got it. How so? Verse 23. But ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. That's why you got it. That's why it's all real. It isn't real because you feel it. It isn't real because you want it to be. It's plain real because God is doing it. And that's what God's going to do. That's what you're looking for. God's wonderful, wonderful working in a most, most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind while you're here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, you will note directly, Paul, great cosmopolitan city of Corinth again, chapter 2, verse 2. Paul, what did you do? Remember, Paul is not a dumb guy. Paul, Gamaliel, he has the education. He's a Roman. He's a Roman citizen. He has been educated by the top people, Gamaliel and them. He got it, like the Apostle Paul. He's there. And therefore, which is what we're saying, Apostle Paul, for I determined, in verse 2, not to know anything among you, save except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so all the intellectual and reasoning and look so you show you're wise and understand. No, all I'm going to do is tell you, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a mystery. It's a wonderful, wonderful mystery that's been revealed. And the world is talking about madness, They're mad on their idolatry. They're mad in what they're doing. And they're mad that you would get saved and they aren't, and they're mad. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and while you're here in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and since we're doing that part of it for the second, 2 Corinthians, if I can, chapter 12, and you would recall again, you're saying it a little bit. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, picking up, please. Remember Paul? Paul had a physical ailment, infirmity, that he did, and it didn't go away. Paul said, I would like it to go away. It didn't go away. It didn't go away. It just didn't go away. It just didn't. And he tried to tell God, it's a problem. But he didn't make it go away. So therefore, God, how did you answer Paul? Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. There's your word. If we're going to boast, if we're going to talk about anybody, glory. I'll glory in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sliding down verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in approaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I had to understand I need to have a wonderful, wonderful dependence. Full dependence upon God. Not upon your body and your brains and your etc. You're counting on God. That's what God looks for. Example. That's why Abraham, God waited 25 years with Abraham before he would have Isaac. He let Abraham and Sarah 25 years. And then Abraham was ready, like Moses at 80 years old. Abraham was ready at 100 years old. God said, now we'll have a baby. That's what we'll do it. Well, couldn't you have done it when I was better? No. And Sarah is going to be revived to do the impossible. God said, I waited. So you don't get any credit. I get all the credit, and you know it, and you honor me. You are totally dependent. That's what Romans 4, the Apostle Paul said, I am totally dependent upon God. And that's how I got whatever is in my life. It took me a lot of years to get there, to lock it in, but I got it. Now, having said that, in the light of that, so therefore, in verse 11, I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. But all you did is know Jesus Christ and him among us. You didn't use any of your talents, no. Verse 11, for I am becoming a fool in glorying, and you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, Peter, James, and John. I'm not less than them at all. At the same time, I am nothing. See, the Lord Jesus said, without me, what? John 15, 5? You can do how much? Nothing. What does the apostle say? I learned how to trust God. I didn't trust myself. Without God, nothing. So it has to be with God. That's my glory. That's my boasting with God in his awesome way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, while you're in Corinthians, why not? That'll save you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now the Lord, they said he's mad, and God made foolishness out of what they said. And it is going to be foolish because they trusted in the religious systems. They trusted in their plans, their dreams, their aspirations. And they ended up with what? Nothing. Nothing. That's what they end up with. When we're all done. What a wonderful lot. We did all of this in the name of whatever, and we end up bankrupt. Wow. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Corinthians 14. Here's the local church in Corinth. And you'll recall the wonderful section that we keep note of. Verse 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues or languages that no one understands, and there come in one of those that are unlearned and unbelievers. In other words, they don't know, haven't been educated, and they're unbelievers. Will they not say, there's our little word, you're mad. You guys are crazy. Now, you guys don't know this, but years ago when the Assembly of God and all those different things tongues and walking down the aisle and they probably still do that somewhere, but not much anymore, I don't think. And so in the process, they come in and they down the aisle and you'd come forward and want to be healed and I'd hit your forehead and you'd fall down and then get up and say, I'm healed, see, okay. And roll down the aisle. Roll down the aisle, okay. You're mad. What are you doing? It's crazy. That's right. It has nothing to do with law, rule, and order. That's what we do. That's what we talked about this morning. We try to do things with order, having order and decently and in order. That's what we try to do. So there's guidelines and everything. Now, having said that, in verse 24. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, unbeliever, or he's unlearned, he is convinced of all and all, and he is judged of all. Why? Because God is doing a wonderful thing. Back to your morning message and that. Oneness. The body is one. You have a unique oneness. We're supposed to practice the oneness. What for? So that we have the benefits. And so when someone comes in, they didn't say, well, this group believes this, and this group believes that, and this group goes over there, and this group is over here. No, there's a oneness, oneness in Christ. Same God, same life, same Father. Wow. Therefore, verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart revealed, made manifest, clear, public, plain. So, falling down on his face, he will worship God. He's an unsaved visitor. He was out the door. And say of a truth, a report to the people, his friends, his family, whatever, report, announce that God is in you of a truth indeed. That's what they're going to know. What'd you get in church? God was in them. What'd you get at Bible school? God was there. God was there. That's what they got. That's what you're after. And God's doing. But we have to have a oneness to all the body parts to function in harmony with the head so that your body functions. And your body evidences its relationship to the head. Now, having said that, over if I can, please, in the light of that, over to Mark. Before you go to Mark, I got to do something ahead of that. Go with me to 2 Timothy. And remember now what you're up against in this madness. They're pushing everything and the idolatry. And just as a little note, I thought you'd be interested in the light of it, in the Department of Energy at Oak Ridge Nation Laboratory, the Department of Energy, Oak Ridge Laboratory, in the process, they have now what is called the supercomputer. And the supercomputer, just to show you, the supercomputer can do quintillion calculations per second. 10 trillion calculations per second. Do you know what 10 trillion is? In England, in America and France, it's 1 plus 18 zeros after it. And if you go to Germany, etc., it's 1 plus 30 zeros after it. Now, if you can just think of it for a minute, here's a computer that can do quintillion, 1 plus 18 zeros per second in making all of these decisions. What are you going to do? It's an awesome power. How do you and I and our mentality cope with such a thing? We can't even get... The government hasn't even got the quintillion dollars yet. Hasn't got to there yet. They understand. It's awesome. And everything's being controlled. And the people that manage these buttons, do you know what they can do in 1 second at 18 quintillion per second? Do you know what they could do? You couldn't even, all the whole world would, boom, boom. They did it one bop. Wow, all of it came out. Power, power. They're going to be mad with idolatry. Idols are going to make them crazy. What's an idol? Technology has become an idol. It become a god, a little phone, a little map like we shared. That's what we got. That's it. That's where our world is. We take it to bed. We pick up in the morning. We have breakfast with it. We have lunch with it and go to work and probably do some more of it. That's what we do with a computer. We're caught in it, and it is overwhelmingly powerful. The powerful isn't even a good word. It's not a good word anymore. Quintillion, impossible. Impossible. Now, so therefore, Timothy, I knew you'd want to know that because, so when you get your next computer, Apple, whatever banana, whatever computer you get your computer, you say, I want to have a speedy computer, you see. 2 Timothy 1, to the Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is the word cowardness. Failure to fight, failure to stand up, failure to stay up. The madness, they say you're mad and therefore you cringe and go under the bed and hide. No. Your mystery, the mystery of Christ in you, is superior to the craziness of the world around you. So don't get hung up and say, that can't be true. It is true in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore, in verse 7, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, dynamite, dynamic, ableness, and of love, and of a sound mind. He gave you a sound mind. Be able to what? A right mind. Sober mind. Don't be all cuckoo in your head. Don't get all caught up in the madness of everything. And this could do it. This computer thing. Now, if I had to work, forget that. It's a world so fast, everything so fast, we're sort of stuck. So God, I need to have a sound mind. God gives you sound sanity. And in closing, as you know, Mark in chapter 15. Appreciate your patience and hope you got a little bit. And if you have any questions, ask Jeanette. I'll try to help you. It isn't hard. I just can't make everything clear. Mark chapter 5. Here's the guy, demonic. You'll remember it, verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil, demon, and had the legion, lots of demons, lots of demons, and sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Do you see the word right mind? That's the same as sound mind. Sound, right, sober. What happened? The guy got delivered from the evil demons and was sat there with a sound mind. The people, they liked him when he was demon-possessed, even though he made trouble. They really didn't like him when he started to think right. When he started to say, listen, I'm not mad. I'm looking to God. And God, in his wonderful will and way, has saved me in an awesome way. So you think I used to be mad, he said, but I'm not mad anymore. God gave me a sound mind. Do the people want a sound mind, people? Do people want Jesus Christ walking up and down Jerusalem? Do people want you as a believer to be the believer? They don't want you to be the believer. Therefore, what did they do with this dear man that got saved? Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that he was possessed with a demons, and was concerning his swine, all the demons went into the swine. Verse 17, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, would you please go live somewhere else? We don't want any living people living with us that think right. We don't want any people that are living with us that are forgiven and enjoy a wonderful relationship to Almighty God. We don't want that. So God, what'd you say to him? In verse 18, and when he was come into the ship, he was there. There they are, disciples in the Lord, come into the ship, and he that had been possessed with a demon, devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Say, why can't I come with you guys? I believe. I'm a Christian, make believe. Christian, I believe. Why, what? Let's stay together. And no. God, why couldn't you just take us and give us a little island in the middle of somewhere, paradise, and it'd be wonderful? No, it doesn't work that way. You're in the world, but not of it. Therefore, in verse 19, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Go show him. Go show the mad people of God's mystery. Go show them. See what they can do with a forgiven sinner that's truly forgiven, and they know it. Show them what they can do with that. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Appreciate it. Thank you.